You're listening to Around Comics Wizard World Special.
Friday.
Oh shit, it's Friday. Friday.
Leave that in. We are. Wizard World Chicago, and in cooperation with Comic Book Resources, this is Around Comics, the Comic Book Roundtable, where you'll hear a revolving panel of guests talking about everything in and around the world of comics. This is our continuing Wizard World Chicago coverage.
Yep.
So sit back, listen in. You don't know what you're going to find in this one.
We do, but you won't.
No, we do. Yeah, you don't know. But Tom and I know already.
You know.
Because we already did it.
Yeah.
We lived it. We lived through it.
Live it,
we're
love
not
it, learn it.
Let's get into our coverage and listen in. Wizard World Chicago.
All right, guys. Well, it's Friday night, our second day at the show. It's afternoon. We've all been sort of roaming around the show. Anything exciting news-wise? Any interesting stuff happen to anybody other than Scotty?
nothing. I bought a bunch of old books.
That's
and
a shocker.
Yeah, isn't
yeah,
that
that's,
odd?
I kind of would have imagined.
Through, and I'm like, oh, you're
so out of character.
I know, for me to do that. And then after that, nothing.
Nothing.
I walked around. I talked to some artists. I stared at people from a distance.
Yeah.
I did that. I went to the DC panel, and I was amazed by the questions that people asked
right.
and expect answers for.
I asked a question at the DC panel.
Yeah.
But I got shit from Dan DiDio first. I was holding up my little notebook, yeah. trying to get his attention.
There's just been a gunshot.
He's like, oh, yeah, you with the, what's that in your hand? I'm like, it's a notebook. Okay, I thought it was something cool. Sit down. And so I sit down. I'm like, oh, great. So he asked, and then he came back to me. And
your question was, when can we expect an Azrael book? To come
yes,
back?
That's exactly.
Was it really?
No. I asked if, because Jim Starlin was there, I asked right. if we were going to see any more mystery in space from him.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask. When are you guys going to do the licensed property book of Micro Machines? I'm
yeah,
really looking
Tom
forward to
Tom was
that.
Supposed to stand up and go, this is Tom from Around Comics. I was wondering...
I was going to ask McKeever a question about if Birds of Prey was going to be hardcore.
Hardcore?
Well, there was, I guess, a few things. I took some notes.
I just want to say the most...
From the DC panel you took notes?
Yeah, I took some
Did
notes.
Did you take notes at another panel that you went to?
No, I'm going to plan on going to the Cup of Joe panel tomorrow.
And
that'll be my Marvel coverage tomorrow.
My first thing about panels is the entertainment value. I don't really care about stuff getting leaked. I just like the way people phrase questions with like a righteous indignation.
Right.
Everyone else gonna stand up and be like, and this guy is
right. It's like some goddamn Norma Ray speech or something, right?
Like, there was like eight different people that got up and went, you're not gonna like this question. And before they ask the question, it's like, you're going to hate me for this one, you know?
What I would say? Then shut the fuck up! Don't fucking ask it!
Why are you... Yeah, but...
I only got questions like, why are you so fucking awesome?
Well, you did an X-Men panel today
with Joe Q and
CB.
Uh-huh, that was really cool.
Was there anything announced at that panel?
Actually, no. I think they were saving it for the Mondo Marvel panel, which is going on right now. It's more like a Q&A feeling because we got the big X-Men crossover coming up.
Right.
It was just kind of just a Q&A about the X-Men world past and present and future, what's going to be happening. Like always, you know, it's a lot of like, hey, what's going to happen? Not telling you.
Yeah, that's
the other game. Can you tell me what happens in the last page?
It was a fun panel. Sal came by for a minute.
I made some funny faces, took a couple pictures of Scotty.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. I did meet somebody that I've been wanting to meet for a long time. I met Bill Sienkiewicz today.
Oh, did you get to meet
him? I met him. I bought this sketchbook, and I said, I worship you.
Cool.
How was he? Was he nice?
Oh, he's very nice. Yeah. He's like, hey, I'm crazy looking. He does look, I mean, he looks like his paintings. He's a crazy looking dude. And
he has gotten crazier
looking.
That's
how yeah, he sees the world, I think. I think it's. Yeah, I think he thinks he's photorealistic.
Right. Yeah. Look at me, I'm
Everybody
real.
Looks like me.
But, no, I got excited. I played a fanboy for a minute and said, you know, you are a big inspiration to me for doing, you know, stepping outside the box and trying stuff. And... you know, I told him in my new X-Men when I redesigned the costumes lately, I used his as the base. I went back to his old designs of the yellow and black and used what he did on New Mutants, which, you know, is basically what I do, the New Mutants
of
today.
Right.
And, yeah, so I was that was my fanboy moment.
Very cool.
I got to talk to my friend Jeff, J. Scott Campbell. He gave me his... sketchbook. That's when you're famous like me. You don't have to pay for shit.
Yeah, you should.
Talk to
wearing a Imani suit.
No, but like, his lady friend dressed like Slave Leia.
Nice.
Yeah, and not too shabby at that.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
So
you ran into Mark Miller. Talk
yeah,
to him
I ran in. I introduced myself to Mark because I. You know, we've crossed paths over the years, but I've never actually got to sit and talk with him, meet him. And
he's not a big man.
No. He's small, like most people to me. I'm huge.
You're a giant.
No, yeah, I ran into him, introduced myself, said, hey, you know, you Zeb and I did New Warriors, and you did the next best thing by killing him. So, and he said he was very flattering, and that really, really, you know, it always shocks me when somebody that I am a fan of kind of already knows who
New
I am.
York,
I don't
right,
really.
Right.
And so he's very flattering, talked about my work a little bit, and I was excited about that. So I talked about his work, and then I tried to imitate his accent. Like,
yeah.
I know it's bullshit, but, you know, no, it's really good.
You know, I guarantee people love that when they have an accent,
yeah.
And then you're like, oh, let me do your
right.
heritage.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, you want some of this?
You want some hamburgers?
Yeah.
I met one of my favorite guys in comics, Matt Wagner. I met him today, got a little sketch from him. He was really cool, and hopefully maybe we'll talk to him sometime. He was awesome. Who else did I meet today? I talked to
Shane Wyatt.
Shane White? I haven't seen
Did
him
Did you
yet.
Get blinded by the light?
Man,
by blinded the light? By the light.
The handsome Shane White.
You are so good looking.
He's scared.
What else? Okay, well, back to the DC panel.
Oh.
There was a couple of things.
None of that was announced at the TV.
No, yeah. None of that was at the DC panel. They hinted to another weekly book after Countdown.
Surprise.
You know, yeah, surprise there. What else? Oh, he talked about all the individual stories in the Countdown, and one of the things that...
Who's he?
Which were...
Dan
DiDio. Okay. I'm sorry. He did most of the talking.
Somebody said that Jimmy Olsen sucked.
Yeah.
And no one was really able to defend it all that well. So.
He's like, you win.
I guess you win.
You win.
Olsen sucks.
He kind of hinted...
That's why he must die.
He kind of hinted... Because there's nothing... They really didn't report. I mean, they didn't announce anything.
Right.
They
really.
Announced that...
Stuff was already...
All the announcements
thing.
Happened at...
Oh, yeah, they announced Countdown Arena, which was like three different Supermans. We're going to fight each other.
And then we get to vote.
On which one is the Monarch. Yeah, it's going
to... Starting to go to a new level.
he did mention Kyle Rayner will be the fourth challenger of the unknown.
And my favorite part was when the guy about the righteous indignation when he got up and was like, when are you going to acknowledge the fact that you brought back the wrong Flash and are people going to be fired for this?
Yeah.
As if people are going to be like, fuck yes!
Oh, yeah!
And all of a sudden, Dan DiDio runs from the stage as we chase him.
He'd cry. Yeah. Oh, that'd be sweet.
Instead, like, everyone in the audience is just like, what? What?
Yeah.
It's fine. We all like that Flash.
They announced Salvation Run, another book.
I think that was at San Diego, but they talked a little about it.
Talked a little bit about it. Talked about Death of the New Gods by Jim Starlin.
Jim Starlin's going to kill everybody.
Yeah, he's just going to kill everyone. Then in the Q&A, there was some funny stuff. They pulled a kid up from the audience. DiDio said something kind of adult-ish. And he's like, is there any kids? There's no
there's
kids
one
here,
in
right?
The front row.
And there's one in the front row. So he's like, oh, come up here. So he gets the kid on the panel, and he's like, okay, you're going to answer any questions that we don't want to answer.
Anytime I got to answer a question.
Yeah, anytime you got to answer a question. If I don't want to answer the question, you just answer it with maybe. So the kid did that throughout the whole panel. It was pretty funny. Somebody asked about Young Justice trades, and Bob Wayne said,
take your issues and go get them bound yourself.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love those motherfuckers. That's my kind of people right
there. They talked about Final Crisis is going to resolve a lot of the storylines and stuff from Identity Crisis on.
What else? There was
No plans to bring back Amethyst. That guy asks that question at every
traditional
year.
Amethyst question.
Yeah, every year he
asks. And then everyone
that.
On the panel looks at each other like
what? Again with this fucking guy?
Well, I think the guy, he may... He
may get his wish someday.
Someday.
I bet it's on his deathbed. DC will provide him with a special one.
Just a sketch.
They did talk about...
She's back.
Grant Morrison and Paul Dini will be working on Resurrection of Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
Which, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Greg Rucka is okay with it. Vertigo is not part of the multiverse.
Thank goodness. God,
so no,
Jesus Christ.
And that was pretty much it. And then there was they announced the special secret Warner Brothers panel that is going to be Saturday night at 6:00. You have to get here at 10 to stand in line at the DC booth for an armband and some other stuff. And then I think there's a treasure hunt.
And
you have to dig up a dead body, and then you can get into the DC panel.
You have to become a vigilante.
Yeah, because the fucking $80 it cost to get in this motherfucker. I really want to do a job.
But there's this Warner Brothers is coming, and it's about the Dark Knight movie, and there's rumors that Nolan and maybe some of the cast members are going to be here.
Oh, that's
for
cool.
A super secret.
I like Christian Bale.
Well, if people live in Chicago, you can pretty much go downtown at any given point during the night and check out.
As I walked from the train to the Sears Tower one day, a burnt out Gotham police helicopter on Wells Street with one security guard just looking bored as shit sitting next to it.
Goddamn
like,
Batman shit.
Yeah. I have to guard a burnt out helicopter for an entire day. This is horrible.
Welcome to Gotham.
That was pretty much it from the. It was fun though. I mean, you can tell Didio really enjoys what he's doing. And
he's a character, man. I love that guy.
He's cool.
I just the sort of since I enjoy Schadenfreude, I enjoy other people's pain. Gives me pleasure when someone asks a question and he's just like, "Well, they're just gonna stay dead," and their face just like sort of
sinks. Right. Oh, well, at the X-Men panel, somehow it got diverted from X-Men for a while, and we got into Spider-Man.
Did you talk about podcasts at all?
we did get into Spider-Man, and somebody asked Joe. Joe had mentioned when he got into publishing, or when he got into editor-in-chief seat, he had three things that bothered him that he would like to attempt to change.
Uh-huh.
One was there are too many mutants.
Okay.
Obviously, they handled that with the House of M.
They took care of that.
One was something I can't remember.
Spider-Man and Mary Jane being
and
married?
One was Spider-Man and Mary Jane being married.
Right.
And so that got into a big debate amongst people. Joe and then and myself and a bunch of people think it was kind of a mistake because it really, really limits your stories with him being married.
Because it's always going to be about that.
Right,
it's always going to be
MJ. Comic fans always, you want to limit. You can't be selfish with your characters. You got to remember that there's generations before and after you that need to enjoy the character the same way that you did. They can't all grow old just during our duration of collecting comics, right?
Yeah.
That's why characters don't age. They have to stay the same age. You want to keep them in the same realm, but we liken it to when he was a single just guy dating. He could go with either one, and you wanted to root for one of the girls.
You could get a girl pregnant on accident.
Yeah, he could knock a bitch up. But if he's married and he starts flirting with another girl, then he's a dirty scumbag, right?
Right.
But
I also think it's there's a weird flip side to that too, because I think also when you see people being like, oh, I don't want him to be married. I want him to be with Gwen Stacy. And I'm no one remembers who Gwen Stacy is. Everybody. Who's read comics recently, most people, Mary Jane.
You're never going to make everybody happy.
That's just, the identifiable character. They're not going to switch back to a character that was dead before most modern readers. Most of the people they want to pick up with these books aren't going to have any clue who that character is. So,
Correctamundo.
Yeah.
Correctamundo.
I got it right.
You got it right. Everybody
else?
Well, now wrong.
We're actually going to be joined by some guests
here. Yeah, we got
here.
Some guests coming over. We are now joined by Jan and Jay.
Jan and Jay?
Jan and Jay.
Do they have last names?
No.
For people that
I don't do last names.
Can't see them?
I'm
Scotty.
Yeah, I'm
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Are not necessary.
I'm in, baby.
All right.
Cancel. He's so hot right now.
He's on fire.
I said Zoolander reference.
Well, thank you guys for joining us.
No, for real though, Jan Jones.
Jan Jones and Jay Torres.
Jay Torres. Yes.
And you guys are working on a book for DC, the Magnificent Fantastic Wedding Planner.
The Black Canary.
The Black Canary. Absolutely.
It's very feminine.
It is like the girliest book that I have seen in such a long time.
As Jay cries one single tear.
Can we put some punching in it?
I love you. Why are you making me hurt you?
But we managed to throw in some boobies.
Well, all right.
Pound it?
Just to kind of even things out.
Well, yeah, it was actually, there's a funny story behind that because we have a whole scene in a lingerie store. And I got the pencils in, and I looked at them, and I called my penciler, and I was like, Lee, we got to put bigger panties on them. And he was just like, what? I said, no, we have to put, I'm a girl, and we have to put bigger panties on them, but we just can't have them running around like this.
Scant.
And he's like, okay, well, what do you mean? And I actually had to go, like, download, like, Victoria's Secret JPEGs and, like, email them to him. I'm like, okay, these are the kind of panties she should have. And I was like, I can't believe I'm having
here
this.
Research for this was awesome. I mean,
well, yeah, I actually spent an afternoon, and I am, like,
I was like, hey, is
like,
this one too sexy?
Other, like, about this one? He's like, what do you think? He's like, this is Frederick's. Is this too sexy?
Damn.
Like,
she was like, no new nipples, editor. No butts, no nipples, no butts. I'm like
no, you said,
send me
like
an example of no.
No, I have to go look for them.
Yes. Give us
and
a
send her and get the okay, which is fun.
Who's drawing it?
Lee Ferguson,
who is amazing. He's a he's a newcomer. He was actually my first rejection letter that I wrote at DC when I got there. So when I started working for Dan, I actually cried after I sealed it.
Oh.
I felt so bad.
How long ago was that?
That was like 4.5 years ago. Yeah. So yeah, and he's actually come a long way. He's amazingly talented.
You've been bearing this cross for 4 years.
I know.
And then when you got the girliest book ever, you went back to him.
Well, no, here's the great
to make
thing.
It up.
And then Christine Norrie is doing 6 of our pages, and I actually replaced Christine Norrie as a sales rep when I first got to D.C. because she had moved to a different department. So it's kind of like
coming home.
Full circle. Yeah, it's all coming back around.
You screwed over, you're able to help
in some way.
Well, actually, it's funny because Jay's stuff, actually, Dan gave me a copy of Sidekicks to read.
She once kicked Jay's dog.
I kicked his dog. And Jay's was one of the first things that Dan did, gave me to read and said, what do you think of this? And I just fell in love with
Sidekicks
it.
Sidekicks was awesome.
And I've been a huge fan of Jay's writing ever since then, and I've always wanted to find ways to bring him into the DCU.
Wouldn't it be funny if I said I never wrote that book?
Yeah, kind of. I feel like a real dummy.
I didn't really write it. I just put my name on it. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, give us an idea of what the Wedding Planner book is. What is it? It's called the Wedding Planner, but is it actually a
wedding planner?
Yeah.
Actually, when she called me about it, I swear to God, I thought she was asking me to do a scrapbook, and I was thinking, why would she? Because she was going on about how
she's
we could have
goddamn.
Well, she was like, we could have a menu. We could have. A guest list.
A registry.
Well, this is the thing. I thought she was asking me to do a scrapbook, like something funky and different.
Right, right.
And I thought, well, I guess I'm flattered that she's thinking that I could pull off something so, quote unquote, innovative. But really, I was glad after 10 minutes, she's like, oh no, but it's actually a comic. So we could have, action and scenes about them planning the wedding. And I'm thinking, who's going to buy this if there's no, action or coolness in it? And then we figured out, ways to get around that and, have them fighting and sparring and have them trying out lingerie. So this is any way to get people to pick it up, right?
But, for me, it came about because we were sitting here talking about the wedding. And I thought, she's so good at so many things. She can, kill you. She's got a sonic scream. I bet she's not that good at planning a wedding, And this is completely foreign to her to have to do something like this, and there's going to be some difficulties and some friction, and I thought it was kind of fun to explore someone who's not necessarily a girly girl having to kind of get in touch that side of her.
Right. How long is this going to be?
This is actually, it's a 23-page, 23 pages of story,
one shot. Okay.
Yeah, it kicks off the wedding event.
I don't think I could do a miniseries.
No, I don't
wedding
think.
I just went
another argument about the meal.
The fucking invite!
You cannot
get the padded chairs.
Yeah, you cannot sit him next to her.
You cannot put Plastic Man next to him. It does not work.
Yes, it's just
you have to have an argument.
Well,
we had a lot of fun. When I got the proofs for the book back, and with Lee's pages, it was great. But when you add the Christy Nori breaks, you just look at it and you're like, it's so pretty. I'm so happy. And we're really proud of it.
Awesome.
Do you guys worry that it's sort of outside the realm of what
people would think, you know, I'm a superhero comic.
That's the first thing I said to her. I said, is anybody going to read this? You know, and we figured, I guess, we'll just give it a shot and see. I mean, they're completely...
Gunshot.
Like, fucking grenade in here, folks.
Damn wedding planner.
Damn wedding goose.
Clack, clack.
We hate weddings.
I think the appeal for this book for me was it was unlike anything else we have in the DCU. There is no other book that you can actually look at and say, that's kind of like that. It's pretty unique.
Oh, certainly.
And stands out on its own. I mean, I smell Eisner, baby. No, I mean, seriously.
Maybe like a Friends of Lulu award.
I would take that.
Don't they have one of those?
Maybe.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I don't win shit, so I don't keep up with awards. If my name isn't somewhere, I don't pay attention.
It doesn't matter.
When does the book come out?
I believe it's in stores September 5th.
September 5th?
Yeah, I think it's the kickoff book. I should know this. I work off a bunch of other dates to start because I just have to make sure it all gets in on time. it kind of stinks because part of my job is to coordinate the schedules. And when my book is late, I look like a real
a-hole.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Because I have to sit and yell at
everyone. How do you yell at yourself effectively?
Exactly. And it's just like, I remember because some of my pages didn't come in as fast as I needed them to. And I was just like... it is September 9th, by the way. I'm sitting there, and I was like, Black Canary Wedding Club. Oh, yeah, that's mine. And I'm like, oh, I'm so ashamed. I'm like, oh, this just stinks. And the whole staff is, like, looking at me and laughing. They're like, yeah, see how easy it is now, you know? Sucker.
I was on time.
No, you were on time. No, you were on time. But, you know, for quality, you know, sometimes some of the pieces that we really wanted to make it really stand out, we had to wait. And sure. I was okay with I was sweating it a little towards the end. I was getting a little nervous, but it all came in and it was worth it.
Well, and we just got out of the DCU panel, and that was a big sort of topic of conversation about the timeliness of books. And you had went into it, and Dan went into it a bit about how you really, really tried to improve.
Know,
and it's, you know, it's shown, certainly. I mean, there's been, way, you know, really not many market books that have been. What are you guys doing?
I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I too quiet?
Having a conversation with himself. I like my own voice.
This is my voice.
I was sitting here thinking, please don't ask me a question. I can't hear you.
This is my voice.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
You know, thank you for noticing the schedule. I mean, I think I've fast become, like, the most hated woman on the sixth floor because, like, people see me walking down the hall and they want to close their doors because it's like, oh, she's going to yell at me about my book again. So, yeah, I mean,
it's not because you smell.
I don't smell.
Just kidding.
Lovely. You know? Like lavender.
I didn't finish my sentence.
It smells like
beautiful.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
What else on the editing end and the writing end are you guys working on at the moment?
Wonder Girl.
What was Sanford, right? Sanford Green.
Sanford Green.
My man Sanford.
Sanford Green, the new hotness. Jay Torres, Bolden Busted.
Yeah.
Please pick up the book anyway when it comes out.
And we're going to be talking to Jay this weekend about some other projects. He's got a meeting with Dan and I tomorrow.
Oh, Susquito.
He keeps trying to get away from us, but, you know.
It's going to be like the baby shower.
Yeah, baby shower.
Yeah.
Babysitting.
First Green Arrow divorce.
The bachelor party. How come there's not a bachelor party?
Is there a bachelor party? There's a bachelor party.
All right, now we're talking.
Research for that,
Countdown.
Too.
Bachelor parties and the wedding special, the JLA wedding special. So yeah, we definitely it's wedding month.
How has the response been to the whole sort of, you know, wedding thing? I mean, because you guys are making there's a lot of stuff coming out for this.
It's surprising.
Yeah.
You know, if someone asks the panel player, they're like, "Is she getting married because she's pregnant?" And I'm like, "No, she's not getting married.
She's
pregnant.
Knocked that whore up."
Yeah. And I mean, and honestly, there's some. They were like, "So now that they're getting married, is she going to be all subservient?" And I'm like, "What planet are you from?"
Comic planet, of course.
She's going to wash the dishes barefoot.
Yeah, she's going to be washing his costume.
Yeah.
Well, the cool thing about the whole all the wedding stuff is that in the last couple of years with both DC and Marvel, we've had a lot of like funerals, right? And a lot of sort of tragic comics and whatever. And this is one of the first, you know, big celebrations. I know it sounds kind of cheesy, but whatever.
No, it's good.
We've
talked about it before. Everything being very
the darkening of comics
and every superhero's on the cover crying and. holding a dead person. You know, it's nice to get the other side.
Welcome to my Monday.
It'll be tears of joy, and they'll just be holding like someone who's fainted from happiness.
I expect to walk down the streets of Chicago watching people in one hand holding the wedding planner book, and in the other hand grasping the person walking next to their hand.
Just holding that. Smiling.
Oh, it just life is good.
Well, guys, thank you very much, for coming and joining us for a little bit, and I hope great success for the book. And
I just got here.
You just got here?
Yeah, but I saw Jen, and all is good.
Aw, yeah, I'm pretty tired. I'm still really tired from San Diego. I have most of my voice back, and you just run on adrenaline.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I'd imagine.
And Red Bull.
Yeah, and crack.
And anger.
I wasn't going to say.
I love the crack.
All right, I think we have a scoop on that.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I don't think that's a secret.
Oh, no, no, it's this pretty.
It's a round comic exclusive.
Do you think I'm this skinny from eating salad?
Oh, snap.
All right, guys, well, thanks again.
We
really appreciate you coming over.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out.
Have a great show.
Awesome.
All righty.
First, we're here with Shane White.
We're here with Shane White now, artist on Overman, the new book that's coming out.
We think he's
and
fucking beautiful.
The prettiest man in comics, as we've said multiple times.
It has caused problems
at home. It seems to have started something.
What's the story with
this? Well, my wife overheard you guys talking about me, and she wanted me to rewind the episode. I'm like, it's nothing. It's no big deal. And she's like, no, I want to hear this. I'm like, crap. Because this is like the third or fourth time you guys have been digging me. I don't know.
It's because we got nothing, man.
It's kind of
telling the truth.
You know, they got some kind of man crush going on. I've only met them once. And she's like, well, let's hear it. I'm like, shit, here it goes. So I rewind it, and then sure enough, you guys are...
Man crushing all
man
over.
Man crushing
over
on you.
Yeah. That was just,
what did she
so what did she think?
This?
She didn't like
she
that?
She walked out of the room.
She was jealous about
walked
it?
Walked out of the room and really hadn't said much about it afterwards.
What other secrets are you keeping from me?
Yeah, exactly. You draw comics?
All right, well, we'll have to put a moratorium on that. It was all done in love, man.
A little embarrassing. You know,
all right.
Cause now,
well,
like,
now you have something to live up to.
Like,
he's not that pretty.
Not
you know?
It's like a guy's flexing at me.
Motherfucker just walked up to the table going,
"What, motherfucker?" What abs? Where are your abs? I'm back home. No, man, it's okay. It's okay.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the book that's coming out, Overman.
Before that, we have to remember to take down Shane's picture from Am I Hot or Not?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Man, you know, I was gonna scar myself,
just to ugly yourself up a little bit, just
like,
dirty up.
Maybe we were wrong about that guy.
So what's up with Overman?
Well, it's called The Overman. It's a sci-fi noir that's coming out in December, and we've been working on it. I've been working on it for the past 2 years, so I'm doing like all the penciling, lettering, inking, coloring. And we've actually been working on it since college, so it's about 20 years in the making.
Wow.
So it's been a fast, like an overnight thing.
Yeah, yeah. And
if it
fails, it will look really pathetic. Who knows? You know?
It's like a miniseries, or it's...
Yeah, it's five issues.
Five issues.
Each is 32 pages, no ads. And it was adapted from a novel that Scott Reed, the writer, had written back in 2002. And so it was really dense. So, you know, translating it into a comic book form was really tough. But we had drawn it like two or three times over the course of 20 years. And it's just like each time we did it, it was just like, God, we suck, you know. And each time, you know, we got a little bit better. But
wow.
We got to that point where it's just like, you know, let's do it, you know, do or die. And I think I got to the point where people were liking my work and wanting to, you know, publish my stuff. So.
Are you self-publishing it or?
No, Image is actually.
Image? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were kind enough to look at it and say, yeah. Let's do it.
And this is out here? I mean, you don't have anything? Do you have something here at the show?
We have a 16-page preview that's not available online. And
is it awesome?
Yes. By your standards, yeah, I think they are.
I think
it is. It's sweet
awesome
and awesome.
Handsome.
I love awesome shit.
Yeah, I think it's actually... I think it's one of the better works that I've actually... had a chance to collaborate with on somebody.
What's the story, like, sort of the synopsis of...
It's actually it's about a hired killer who has to stop an apocalyptic union of mankind and machine. And what starts out as a simple detective noir ends up becoming this roller coaster ride to hell. I mean, it's just he finds out information about the second coming of it's not really the second coming. It's like the next evolution of mankind, and he's got to try to stop it. But he's a loyal company man, and the company he works for is this all-powerful company that builds biomech armor.
Right.
It's like organic technology. And so he's got to try to stop this. And all these characters, very eclectic characters, come into play into trying to circumnavigate the whole experience. I mean, he ends up delving into some really psychological stuff and realizes what he has to do, but there's just no way he can do it. All the events are unfolding and it's going so fast, all he can do is hang on. So the whole promotional thing that we're trying to do is, you know, a hired killer tries to stop an apocalyptic union between man and machine and he fails. So you know the outcome is he fails.
Already,
but how
spoilers.
Fails.
So it's like a romantic comedy.
It actually
it's like Notting Hill.
Notting Hill.
Always have hats.
Great.
Robots and shit.
It sounds really cool, actually. Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite genres is post-apocalyptic anything. I like all of that.
I'm fascinated with the end of the world.
Yeah,
people are fascinated with the end of the world.
Yeah, and I mean, the approach I took with it was I did a lot of concept design for it, so it was just like, you know, two or three months of studying, like, Raymond Loewy and Hugh Ferris and a lot of the Art Deco time period and, and trying to design cars that might have been Art Deco-ish and guns that are made of, like, Bakelite that shoot static, you know. And
right.
A lot of the cityscapes are very Deco-ish, you know. And,
sweet.
You know, just trying to push all those elements to make it, like, a really rich and new experience.
Awesome.
If it works out well for everyone, is there more story to tell, or is this sort of is it all within this?
Well, this story is self-contained. I mean, it is the five issues, and it could continue. The writer, Scott, is working on the next novel. It's called The Zenith Warning, and he's shown me like six pages, and it's really, really cool. And I don't know if I'm going to work on it. It's just, you know, it's like a skeleton that's been in our closet for so long. It's like, let's get it out there and move on.
You want to stop thinking about it and do something else now?
Stop drawing it over and over and over.
Totally, and over. I mean, it's really been a bane to our existence. I mean, the next book I'm going to do is a graphic novel, but it's going to be in a whole different style. I mean, you know, I'm going to start, it's more cartoony. It's kind of like what you were doing, Scotty, on the more brushy stuff. You know,
yeah, stuff I've
more shape-based stuff.
Yeah, just energetic awesomeness.
Yeah.
And what are
you just writing on your coattails?
And is it got a title or a story? Or you?
Yeah, it's actually NBM Publishing was interested in checking it out. It's called Things Undone. And it's sort of, you know, like North Country, the first one? It's kind of like taking parts of my life and intermixing it with fantasy. And it's like an indie zombie book, in a way.
Okay.
Because it uses some of those zombie elements.
Are you a zombie?
No. No, I'm not. I'm sorry. in the book, the main character, ends up becoming zombified over a period of time.
Cool.
When when's Overman going to be available?
The first issue is coming out in December. I think it's going to be in previews next month.
Okay. So, and where can people go to see more about it?
Oh, they can go to theovermancomic.com. They can go to the Overman Comic at MySpace. They can go to Shane White Comic Space. They could go to...
What's your address?
Like my home address.
Can they just call you?
You almost started to say it.
Oh,
132. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Here's a letter about how much I'm looking forward to.
Well, Shane, thank you so much for stopping in with us. And I'm sure we'll talk to you some more. And, you know, we're big fans of your stuff. So
all right.
We're all looking forward to it. And have a great show, man.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy.
That was nice meeting you.
Finally. Yeah. Finally.
Yes.
All right, now we're joined by two writers from Batman Strikes.
Two people that came over because they want to work with me.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're like, we heard that Scotty Young was over
oh,
there.
Oh, good Lord. It's...
Look, they don't get it. They're like...
Who's Scotty Young?
Who I know who you are.
Oh,
we're just... Everyone's equally tired.
Yeah. Like, whatever.
Very, very, very tired.
It's Russell...
Lissau.
And Joshua Elders.
Yes, sir.
It is Joshua, not Josh.
Well, it was Joshua, but then someone got the Joshua Elder domain name for me 5 minutes before I registered it.
Wow.
So now I am Josh Elder forever, thanks to the internet.
Damn.
Jesus.
Damn internet.
And it was a guy like... doing some charity bike ride across the country for leukemia or
oh,
something.
Screw him.
So yeah, I hate the guy, but I can't like actually, you know, go and Walton kick his ass or anything because it's like, you know, it's for the kids with leukemia.
Exactly.
He's gone through Montana.
Charity boy.
And you guys are both working on Batman Strikes right now?
Right.
Tell us
yes,
a little
sir.
Bit about what's going on with that and what you're both writing it? Or
we're both two of the writers. There's a stable of writers on the Batman
okay.
Strikes.
Okay.
They rotate pretty much month to month. And I've got two under my belt. Issues number 30, which came out in February, and issue 35, which came out in July. And four more coming up, October, January, and then a bunch that haven't been scheduled
and
in 2008.
The Batman Strikes is a book that's loosely, or at least in the style, based on the Batman
animated
yeah. series that's on TV. And Jeff Matsuda was doing covers for you for a while.
Right.
And Dave McKay has been doing some covers. I think Sanford
Green is now exclusively the cover artist,
right.
from what I understand.
Yeah.
Chris Jones, who's the regular penciler on the book, has done, I think, one cover. But Sanford's the guy now, and it's fantastic.
Right. Yeah, he's good.
Because he's an amazing artist.
And this is one of, like, so the all-ages DC books. That,
right.
That,
it's, in my opinion, anyway, it's the flagship title of the Johnny DC line.
Okay.
Well, I mean, when Teen Titans was sort of at its peak, then, yeah, but it's kind of eclipsed it now that the show's
right.
off the air. Especially since the show itself, I think, is coming to its own in the last couple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a much better show, and because we have access to, like, Batgirl and Robin now, and a much larger stable of characters, the comics themselves have been getting progressively better as well.
Cool.
Absolutely.
So what do you guys have planned for the Batman in the upcoming issues?
Well, my issue just came out on Wednesday, my first one. It stars Gearhead, who's a villain who can take over vehicles and has these nanite powers, and he's really kind of way out of the scale of Batman, to be honest. When I saw the show, I was like, this guy's ridiculously powerful. And in the show, he's rigging charity races and stuff like that. I mean, this guy's like absurdly powerful, and he was used in such a kind of ludicrous way.
And his name was Deerhead.
Gearhead.
Oh, Deerhead. God, that was totally.
That would have been much worse.
Tom's like, that's a strange name.
That's
so,
name.
I wanted to kind of do a pseudo origin story for him that explained why this kind of, you know, idiot. Had this huge, like, you
I
know,
like this guy.
All this incredible technology. And basically, he's just was some race car guy that someone jacked up to cause trouble. And he doesn't know who did it or why, and he doesn't really care. He's just this kind of anarchist. And mostly, it was also an attempt. I wanted to do a bit where Batgirl wants to drive the Batmobile since she's 16. And Batman's like, you know, you're not driving this car.
Right.
And Batgirl's like, I bet you let Robin drive it when he turns 16. He's like, believe me, Robin's definitely not driving this car. And to write that bit in...
When you're writing it, do you do the voices like that?
When I read, yes. Honestly, I'm like...
Can I drive the car?
No, you're not driving
the car. Can I drive the car, Batman?
You know, no, that's not it. No, that's not happening.
This is the Batman.
And then you throw in little extras like, slut. Just a little, and they go, oh, I can't write that.
Yeah, yeah, you know, they get a little colorful, a little blue sometimes, and then I edit that
out.
Yeah,
yeah.
Second draft.
Those are the personal
kids. Personal
yeah,
draft.
For kids,
yeah.
And, you know.
How are you guys kind of given free rein to go away from, I mean, you guys aren't mimicking episodes or anything. Do you guys have the ability to branch away from what's happening in the cartoon?
Absolutely.
And do
yeah.
your own thing and add your own stuff to the
yeah.
world?
Yeah, I mean, we can't directly contradict anything that's on the show, but, like, an issue that I'm pitching this weekend, actually, involves the idea of a character I'm creating called the Middleman. And he's the supplier for all of the Gotham supervillains. You know, where does Bane get his venom? Where does the Joker get, like, 50 psycho
giant
clown
balloon,
costumes,
yeah.
Or yeah, balloons filled with cyanide.
Yeah.
Well, the middleman supplies all that, and he takes a taste from everything. So he's literally got like every bat villain's powers. And in the story, now that they're introducing Superman onto the show, they move. He's moving his operation to Metropolis, and Batman trails him there. And he and Superman are oil and water as always.
Mm-hmm.
And because this guy's jacked up with every bat villain's power, he's actually a physical match for Superman, and he's way out of Batman's league. And so they end up having, you know, team up to be able
you
to
seem to like humiliating Batman.
Well, you know, many of my, you know, I think Batman's, especially in a series like this, you know, he's the ultimate straight man.
Right.
And you've always got to put him, the straight man, in situations where he gets pissed off because, you know, everything is ludicrous around him. But he's got to play it straight because he's a straight man, and eventually, of course, he's Batman.
Right.
And he takes the bad guy out and saves the day. But you've got to kind of, you know, I like to kind of, you know, stick it in his craw a little bit in my stories.
It's funny that you say that, though, because the Batman in The Batman Strikes is younger. Mm-hmm. He's only in his first few years of being a superhero. Which would place him somewhere in his early to mid-20s. I've given him, or at least I've tried to give him, a little bit of sense of humor that some of the older Bat books had that he's lost in the post-Frank Miller era. And although, for the most part, he is the straight man, especially when compared to Robin or Batgirl,
right.
Which are nothing but comedy, I've been able to throw in a couple one-liners and a couple sly little jokes that you wouldn't be able to get away with in the DCU because he's just not that guy.
Yeah. How do you guys like getting it now? For people who don't know the Batman new series, almost the whole line of the cast of the Rogues Gallery has been overhauled in a cool way for kids. It doesn't fall directly in line with what, you know, we as older comic book fans know, but the roots are still there.
Yeah.
But characters like Bane, it's, you know, a little bit different with the same core there, or the Joker is completely insane, running around in a straitjacket that hangs off his.
And he's got like the Rasta hair now.
Yeah,
that was a radical change.
Are you guys having? Is it fun to be able to know, like, okay, the Bat Universe still has its Rogues Gallery, but we get to play around with a completely off the wall, amped up version of it? I mean, you guys enjoy that, or
very much?
I'm totally in agreement. I mean, there's been so many stories done with, you know, the classic takes on the characters has been around so long.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To get out of that a little bit, it's fun and it's a little fresh, and you get to do something, a Joker story that wouldn't really work otherwise. Like, tell me about your Joker story.
The Joker story that I just did, number 35, that came out in July, I co-wrote with Chris Jones, who's the penciler. And it was actually a story that had its origins here at Wizard World. I had met Chris last year, and we talked about the stories that we wanted to work on together. And I said I wanted to do a Joker story, but I hadn't gotten my mind wrapped around the new version of the Joker yet. Chris says, well, I always wanted to do a story told by, narrated by, someone who's been Jokerized. And you couldn't do that in the DCU because the Joker's poison is fatal. Joker kills people. Batman strikes, nobody dies. It's a kid's book, so the toxin isn't fatal. Suddenly you can have somebody narrating, first person,
from
a Joker story, and what it's like to have the rictus smile and to be frozen in place. And that led us in a direction that we never would have
been able to do
in the DCU. And it was the first time in the 60-plus year history of the character that somebody narrated a story who had been Jokerized.
And you guys said there's like a stable of writers who sort of rotate working on the book. Is there a challenge to that? Is there like a consistency problem? Or do you guys feel that...
Well, I mean... You know, there's a problem with them all trying to keep up with me.
And, you know, I like this man.
I believe what he meant was a challenge trying to keep up with me.
Yeah. Right. You know, you can follow up my one-liner with, you know, an attempt to, you know, it's been done.
Well, you mentioned like being able to put in,
like
a sly joke. Is there sometimes an issue of like different people obviously have different writing styles? Does it ever get a little too far away from each other from issue to issue?
I think that's Nachi's job to kind of, our editor, Nachi Castro, that's his job to really corral everything.
Yeah, I mean, he does a pretty good job of it. There were definitely places where it's like you've got to move it kind of in this direction. And that's cool. I understand how it is. And if anything, I think having a stable of writers we have to compete for every slot. Yeah. I mean, we have to make the best pitches we can.
And they're all one and done stories.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. So
and so, you know, we've got to make the best high concept pitch we can because the other guy next to us is doing the same thing. And so it actually helps us raise our game. And I'm glad that it has the rotating
absolutely.
Thing.
And what a lot of people don't sometimes realize, I think, that you guys are in a good position because with the DC, Johnny DC books and the Marvel Adventure lines, these books get into a lot more fans' hands books than any number one mainstream book simply because they are made to go to every outlet for books.
So they're in Walmart, they're in Target, they're in every library.
Borders and Noble.
So I think you guys are very lucky to be able to have a good time with being able to go, I get 22 pages, 32 pages, or how many pages do you have? A fantastic story right here without having to decompress it.
Right.
I'm sure that's a lot of fun for you guys.
We also fly under the radar a little bit, which is both good and bad. We don't have tremendous sales. You know, none of these books are ever going to hit 100,000 sales. So they're not getting the attention that the regular Bat books are going to get or Justice League or whatever. But we can sneak some more stuff in. We can try different techniques that I think might not necessarily fly in the DCU.
Right.
We also don't have to tie into Crisis, Countdown,
not,
all of that. Well, we're free of that.
I think I picked up the Legion of Superheroes book, actually, because I was curious, and I really enjoyed it. And I mean, this probably applies to all the Johnny DC books. I think they're great because they're sort of very pure distillations of what makes Batman a cool character without necessarily having to wrap your mind around whatever crisis is going on. You just can read a Batman book about why Batman's a cool character without messing around with the rest of the stuff. But
I mean, I completely agree, and I mean, that's one of the things that I loved most about like the Marvel Adventures line and all the DC animated books they've done over the years, is that to me the characters work best in two ways. One is in Bat, which is the core idea of the character, and it's just a straight adventure book and it's fun. And or you take something that's truly adult with superheroes like a Watchmen, a Kingdom Come, a Dark Knight, and it's the middle ground that we kind of occupy now for the most part. That I don't really care. I don't really care for anymore.
Right.
The continuity stuff, aside from just if it's just a really excellent story, as a rule, I just don't care for the tone of it. I don't care for the overall of it. It's trying to play in between those levels, and it is the master of neither.
Right. Well, anything else you guys have coming out besides this? Or is there anything else you're working on? Anything?
If you don't mind, I'll go first. I've got a book that's out of my Wizard World table, which is 4904B in Artist Alley, called Hope New Orleans. And it's the special Wizard World edition of that book. Ronin Studios put it together last year.
Okay.
It's a fundraiser for the Red Cross, for the Southeastern Louisiana chapter of the Red Cross in its Hurricane Katrina relief effort. David Mack did some fantastic covers. Michael Lark is one of the artists that did a pin-up inside. And then money's going to help the Red Cross and the Katrina relief, which is still desperately, desperately needed.
Wow.
Aside from that, I'm working on Strikes, and I've just completed a graphic novel that I hope by the end of the show to have a contract signed.
Well, follow that up, buddy, with all the charity and whatnot.
one who stole your name.
I work for God, pal.
We've already talked about what I think about these charity types.
Goddamn name stealers.
And we should mention, because we had met Joshua last year at Wizard World, you had just put out Mail Order Ninja.
That's right.
Which we did talk about that book. We just never had a chance to get you on the show, but we did talk about the book a bit after that. So you had done that for Tokyo Pop before. But what do you have coming up?
Well, Mail Order Ninja, actually, there's a lot that's happening with Mail Order Ninja. It's the second book came out in December, and we're working on the third one right now. We got picked up for newspaper syndication, carrying about 45 papers, including the LA Times, the Boston Globe.
Wow.
About a million people were reading those.
That's what comic artists really wanted to do back in the day.
Hell yeah.
And now it's being turned into a stage play here in Chicago at the Chicago Children's Theater.
Are you from Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Where do you live at?
Right now I live on around like Lakeshore Division.
Don't get too detailed.
So if you're staying on the stage, this is very
I actually...
I didn't know he was local. Did you guys know he was local?
We both are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
So are we.
For some reason, I thought, yeah, so are we.
We could do this whenever.
Yeah.
Have to be here.
Okay, show's over.
That's enough for you two. Get out of here.
But yeah, it's going to be, I just turned in the my revision on the stage play outline today before I came to the show. It's probably going to go up at the Steppenwolf or the Goodman. It's going to be a pretty big deal.
Wow, that's some
That's some classy shit.
Newspapers, Steppenwolf Theater.
Yeah, and, Gary Sinise type
good
shit.
God.
I'm hoping Malkovich plays the ninja. That would be beautiful. I think it's a good role for him. He can stretch. He'd like it.
He does a lot of children's theater work, doesn't he?
He does. It's really his bread and butter, honestly. And I was just in San Diego, and I was talking to the CEO.
You optioned your life story to Miramax, didn't you? No.
But a number of producers have approached Tokyo Pop about making Mail Order Ninja, and the big heat on it is that Jackie Chan has read the book, and Jackie Chan is interested in being the Mail Order Ninja.
Wow.
So that's generating a huge amount of interest, which is great, and we're going forward with the series. We've got an open-ended commitment now from Tokyo Pop. We're going to take a quarterly next year. We're going to have at least 6 volumes, probably more like 12 to 18. So,
awesome.
Wow. I'm plenty busy with Mail Order Ninja.
Congratulations.
I'm very happy to be so.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for stopping by with
us. Thanks for having us.
And good luck with everything. Have a great show, too.
All right.
And now we're joined by a special guest. It's Chris.
Just arriving to the con.
He had to run away for a little while today. And
I had a little family emergency.
A little emergency.
So it was good in the middle of a con. At least I was, in Chicago.
You're back, though. You're back. And,
yeah, I feel like I've missed everything. I missed you guys talking to DiDio while Jenkins was kicking my ass.
Every time you leave, man, it's like something exciting happens, Doc. I don't know.
Yeah, speaking of the pool, you see who's playing down there now?
No, who?
It's the first Thunderdome. It's Joe Q and Jenkins.
Oh, good lord.
And they have quite the crowd. I've heard that Jenkins is actually playing blindfolded and behind his back.
I think he did lose today.
He
scratched and lost on one game at least.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, I saw him lose. I worked the first shift at the Hero booth, and saw him lose one. And the guy that won picked up an awesome Batgirl page of original art.
That's cool.
So, yeah, they've got some great prizes down there. So.
Tom's back now. Hey, Tom.
Tom has
went to the bathroom. Is where I was.
I'm just catching up here.
You were so quiet the whole episode.
I know. I'm so restrained.
Yeah.
So people have been shoving you for free books?
Yeah, I gave away all my free books. So if you shove me, you might just get a handshake. I'll go buy you a quarter book on Sunday when everything's cheap.
How much cheaper are you going to get?
I can't get cheaper than that.
Well, we've got one of the great things about Con. You never know who's gonna drop by. We have one of the newest moguls from Hollywood.
Hollywood mogul.
Yes. You bought DreamWorks, right?
That's correct. Yes.
we're joined by Cullen Bunn. He is, of course, the author of one of our favorite series from last year, The Damned. And big news. It's DreamWorks, correct?
Yeah. DreamWorks has optioned it. They announced it, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. The first day I was in, the first time I'd been to the San Diego convention, and the first day it came out in Variety that DreamWorks had optioned it.
Now, did you know it was in the works at all? It was a possibility, or was it out of the blue?
I knew it was in the works, but they pretty much said, nothing's for sure until it's announced. So.
Well, congratulations on that. I'm sure that's got to be thrilling for you to.
Yeah, it's kind of surreal.
Yeah.
It still doesn't really feel like that really happened, but it did. I check every day.
Yeah. this isn't one of those joke papers you can get printed up.
It's not the Onion.
I was like, curse you, Hurt, for printing up an issue of Variety.
It was great news for us to hear. We've been a big supporter and fan of the book since it came out, and
Chris said that it was all because of the quote that he.
I think it was.
The quote that got all the attention.
Earlier, Brian and I were talking. I said, I've got to go over and thank those guys because I can't even tell you how many people have come by the booth today and we say, well, where'd you hear about the book? and it's from you guys.
Not so. Kurt Busick, who you replaced my full clothing
I demanded on the that trade. That not happen.
That's Brian Hurt told me it was your idea.
What?
So what else is going on? You guys, hopefully more The Damned coming up?
I've finished the scripts to the next series for The Damned. We're going to do a 2-3-issue miniseries that are sort of tie very closely together, but both will stand on their own. And the first one should come out, we're hoping, by the beginning of next year.
Awesome.
It's called Prodigal Sons. So.
Okay, and it's all returning characters, hopefully, and probably introductions of new ones, I would assume.
It's all returning characters. Not all of the characters from the first series will be there, but, you know, of course, Eddie plays a key role in it. And we're introducing a couple of new characters that I'm pretty excited about. And we're going to, you know, it explores a little bit more of the story of what's going on with Eddie and where he goes when he dies and things like that. So.
Going back to the film a little bit, it's option at this point. There's no guarantee that it'll be a movie or anything, but if it were to be, any ideas on who you would like to play Eddie?
Well, you know...
Kate Beckinsdale. Yeah.
She can just play anything.
She can be any part.
Any role. We get in arguments about this all the time. A lot of people have been emailing me saying, you know, this is who I think should be in Eddie.
Right.
And, you know, the one that comes up a lot, Ed Norton, comes up a lot from people.
I've gotten, awesome. Yeah,
I've gotten
he
a ton.
Awesome.
Well, he'd, but he'd pr- pretty much be awesome in just about
any,
anything.
Yeah, he's
so,
a great actor.
He'd be awesome playing Santa Claus. Yeah.
Hey, copyright that quick.
And now that people have said that, that's one that just jumps in my mind, and that he would be a great, you know, great in the role. Obviously, I'd like a big name actor in the role.
Sure. I always think Adrian Brody.
A lot of people, get a lot of Adrian Brody. Yeah. In fact, I think on your forums, I think I saw someone post that, you know, Adrian Brody would
it's
be
my
a good
big
one.
Name that I sometimes post
on our forum under.
Yeah.
I've got one I can't.
I just want to throw out that I can play a fantastic demon gangster.
He's going to lose some weight.
I drop a few pounds, get in shape, and I'm all ready for it. I can be very intimidating.
He obviously gets to call who gets to.
I'd love to get a cameo and just shoot a gun and just say, yeah!
Well, I saw a Cullen Bunn cameo.
You did?
Yes, in issues 31 and 32 of Queen and Country. I saw a very familiar-looking guy in there.
Yeah, Chris drew me into that issue in the role. John Loring, I guess, is the character. Yeah. What you haven't seen, though, and Chris Somni has it over at his booth here, the pages for the next one that hasn't come out, I took Post-its and rewrote the script, making that character the hero.
The lead.
So, Dan, Brian Hurt, still on The Dan
yes,
with you?
Absolutely.
Still on the art. Any other side projects beyond that you're working on? I know you had a couple things that you had in mind.
Yeah, I've got a couple that I'm working on, just nothing. We haven't gotten them to the point to actually take them to the publishers yet. So, hopefully, you know, my goal is I'd love to have some additional stuff out by the end of the year, this time next year, I'd love to have some additional material out.
Now, I know Oni just has to be overjoyed with what's happening with Whiteout and now The Dan. And there's rumblings about other stuff.
And Courtney Crumrin with Oni, too. DreamWorks just optioned that as well.
Maintenance, too, I think.
Yeah, and Maintenance. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this has been a great past year for Oni.
Yeah, it was really strange just seeing all the people from Hollywood there at the Oni booth. They just kept, I mean, they were constantly meeting with people and talking about, you know, new, you know, different properties. I think they're really excited about it. I'm excited about seeing all that activity around that publisher.
Sure.
That is awesome. All right, well, Colin, always, always a pleasure talking with you.
Well,
and whenever the relaunch of the series starts in January, you say?
Yeah, we're thinking it'll probably be January.
So. Love to talk with you again then.
Absolutely, anytime, guys.
All right,
I really appreciate
it. Thanks.
Oh, gosh,
right.
Anytime, man.
Take care, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Congrats. All right. It's well, there goes medium Hollywood mogul, the next superstar.
Super. Don't have too much fun swimming in that big bathtub of money.
Good for him. The Damn was a heck of a good book. I mean, it just, the art was fantastic on it. The story was something interesting. And I think we talked about it before. It was like, it was one of those concepts like, yeah, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't? Why has nobody ever done that before?
Why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, goddammit, now especially. You know, exactly.
I mentioned that to Brian Hurt today. I went over and talked with him for a couple minutes. And I said, you know, that book is really strong enough to stand on the concept initially. He said, yeah, it was, but it was really Cullen's.
But they didn't lean on that at all. They did a great job of creating a really good story behind the concept.
Yeah. It feels like a great James Cagney movie with demons.
All right. Well, we already got it into a film, so we've done enough for that.
Now we're on.
Screw him.
On to the next star we're going to make.
Yeah. Who's next? Who wants to be a star? Well, it's wrapping up here on Friday night. The con closes at 6 tonight.
Let's wrap it up and go drink.
Yeah. I could use something to eat. I need some. Yeah, we do have to check in. But so far, how are you guys feeling so far about the con as far as overall? It's been good. It's been a little. I mean, there's been some stuff that hasn't been.
Actually, I gotta be a presenter.
I haven't seen like a huge amount of excitement out of stuff yet. But overall, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, sit down. We got another guest.
Sal's just vamping. Me and him are looking at each other, and Sal's just like, and I noticed today is much slower and. Occasionally. And now I'm doing it. I get distracted so quickly, everyone's
Yes, we do.
All right, we found another one of the stars roaming the con floor.
That's generous.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah, not so much.
Just in from New York.
Yep. Just off the plane. Just stepped off the boat.
This is Ron from iFanboy.
Yes,
doing,
indeed.
Buddy?
I'm very good. I'm good. Yeah. I'm glad to be here finally after several years of avoiding the Wizard Convention.
Of threats.
Avoiding?
Yeah. I was on my way to San Diego, but the flight got delayed, so I figured I'd just stop in Chicago.
Oh, it's a flyover.
It's a flyover
convention.
Oh. Yeah, I figured it would, you know, like.
Dun-dun-dun.
And we were going to have so much fun with you tonight.
I used to like these iFanboy guys.
The Chicago Convention seems pretty cool. I'm glad to be here.
Tomorrow I think you'll get the full effect. Yeah. It's, Thursday's fun. Friday's kind of a ramp-up day. Saturday, like most every convention, Saturday's the
heavy day. Yeah.
The hotness. Saturday's the hotness.
Saturday, rubbing elbows, a lot of the fanboy funk going on.
Did I tell you guys that Connor emailed me when we put up the video feed thing? He sent me an email. I was like, nice way to cheap out on a video podcast.
You love the fact that it's a stationary camera pointed at four guys sitting at a table. Just
and
like,
live on a Friday night. It's genius.
And then home.
It's 11 o'clock. I don't know what to do. I'm going to go online. I'm going to watch
it. Hey, we're all like idiots. We're all like looking at the cat like we're going to do.
Waving.
Sal claps. For the first time ever, we're doing a show and does like a physical movie. Goes, on to the next.
Let's do it.
Did you know how many people were listening at any time or watching?
There wasn't even that many.
It was like
actually in the chat.
You killed the server.
Something like that.
I don't know.
But we got to keep up with you. We got to get video out there in some way. We're just going to do it the cheap way.
We do not.
Video's a dead technology, guys.
You don't need to look good on video. I prove that every week. Exactly.
Editing, filters, put some Vaseline.
It's amazing what they can do with cameras these days.
So what are you going to do this weekend? What's the plan?
Well, we're absorbing the convention. We're going to get some interviews with some creators, hopefully. If we're lucky, we're playing the luck card. I haven't scheduled anything. Exactly. So
that might be a tough thing to do because yesterday we didn't have our banner up and people were asking us who we were and we said, oh, we're iFanboy. Go fuck yourself.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but we are the bad boys of podcasting. So that's who somebody described us that on one of the message boards somewhere.
I saw a baby with an iFanboy tattooed.
Just going to get the feel for the convention. And every convention is different. Everyone has a different identity or flavor. And I'm excited to see what this one's like. So.
Okay, well, we're going to get the flavor of some beer here in about 25
that's
minutes.
That's the plan, exactly.
All right.
So,
all right. Well,
check. That's for the video. Where's the camera?
Clap, Sal.
It's on to the next scene.
All right, I shouldn't be in front of a camera. Barely in front of a microphone, let alone a camera, okay?
All right, I think that's going to wrap us up for Friday.
I think so. I'm already exhausted.
I know. And we're two-thirds of the way?
Falling apart.
Maybe, halfway?
The wheels have come off the wagon. The ketchup is off the hot dog. I don't know.
You don't put ketchup on a hot
dog.
The
mustard is off the hot dog.
This is Chicago.
The onions are off the...
I put vodka on mine.
Hot dog?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I guess I should sit down. Are we done?
Yeah, we're just going to wrap up.
That'll wrap up our Friday coverage.
Thanks to all our guests, and thanks to all you listeners
are
listening.
Thank you, everyone.
And thank you in the future.
We'll be back again tomorrow, even tireder.
And more cranky.
Yeah. So thanks a lot, folks.
All right.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a pipe dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is wrong? Let me, oh, let me, baby, love you one more time.